B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hardy, a lot of good responses for your pickle.
Excuse me.
I think that would be really weird.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Christmas is a time to say I love you. Share the joys and laughter and the cheer. Christmas is a time to say I love you. And the fear that lasts all through the year.
How do you rank this Christmas song, Hardy?
I don't really even know it all that well. Is it Billy Squire?
Billy Squire.
Yeah, it's really good. Those things are going all over Facebook, you know, the little polls.
What's your worst Christmas song ever?
Paul McCartney comes in number one every time. Not on mine. I'm just scrolling through, looking at people, commenting. Beatle likes it, though. It's a bad song, but you got to have an ear for it. I'm sure people hate this, right?
Oh, yeah. There's got to be good.
But I like it. No?
How long before we play?
We'll never play the Pogues.
Right. Play the Pogues for
Zoe. I like to drink me pint me beer.
Now you want it?
Yeah.
Now you want to hear the Pogues?
I do. I brought it up to somebody at another event, and they looked at me like I had three heads. I'm like, you like them. This is some Irish guy. I guess he's Irish. That's like all offended. Like,
what
oh God,
event?
I don't like the Pogues. I don't know. It was an event at the stadium.
All right.
And the guy said he was just like mad?
They were playing Christmas songs, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, is that the Pogues? And they said, no, it's not the Pogues. I'm like, oh, they suck. What'd you say they suck? I'm like, what? Easy, buddy. Just commentary here. Opinion. Fact. Not opinion.
I would like to have seen that.
Yeah.
Now I want to hear it just to see Zoe's reaction.
Do you know how hard it is for him to effort songs?
Who?
T-Bone, he's going on like 2.5 minutes right now.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. It's a really bad day in there, huh, Tyler?
It took me 5 seconds.
Oh, did it?
He's got it ready to go. You can listen to it right now.
Play it. Never mind. Disaster and everything.
How do you think
something's going on?
How do you think it's
going
to be with Tyler running the show?
I still don't understand.
Excuse me?
I still don't understand the MyPillow reference that Tom was making. I don't get what he's talking about.
Leave it alone. Shh.
It was Christmas Eve.
Well, I've heard enough. Hear me Christmas Eve all around through. This would be the Doors version of Christmas music.
How dare
we
you?
We said it.
How
you tried
dare
to come
you?
Up, you came up with the worst imitation of a Doors Christmas song. And we have it as a promo. Here it is.
You know what? The moon is right. I got my mouth. I cover my teeth. Simply having the most wonderful Christmas time. Did you bring the tea? Remember the cars here, they go the other way.
Who's right? Spirit's up. We're here tonight.
Yeah.
So bad.
Hardy's got the chills.
It's fascinating that that guy could write all those good songs they wrote and also have that somewhere in his body. And that
have you watched
out.
Any of Get Back yet, Hardy? Have you?
Didn't we talk about it?
We mentioned it in passing like a week ago.
Oh, I watched like the first 45 minutes of the. How many episodes are there?
Three, and they're all about 2+ hours each.
Yeah, so I've made it through not quite half of the first one. I started getting.
And do you hate Yoko Ono already?
The people saying, like, anyone who says Yoko brought up the Beatles obviously hasn't watched this.
Oh, yeah, I have. She definitely broke up the Beatles.
I'm so uncomfortable watching her just sit there.
Yes.
Like
she's
a,
just there.
Like
you're
a
like,
loon.
What is she doing
she's
there?
What did she ever do anyway?
Just as loony as the two guys sitting in the corner meditating that George Harrison brought her along. I'm like, it's a perfect example of guys with like too much time and too much money, and now they're just bored. So what do?
Yep.
Let's bring along mascots.
That band, with all the chicks they could have met and been around, how does he end up like, okay, she's the one for me?
Well, that was a real love affair. I mean, those two.
I guess.
I mean, I don't.
Oh, they adored each other.
Yeah. I mean, that was a truly great love story. But I'm kind of torn on it, Beatle, because it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. I think people watch this, they're like, wow, there is so much access. And the cameras were rolling like multiple angles, actual film, like really cool, so long that the band obviously forgets they're being filmed this entire time. And it's really a true fly on the wall, great voyeurism. But I got to admit, 45 minutes in, I was bored. It was during the argument that Paul is having with George about what guitar part he wants him to do on this song. I'm like, I don't even know this song. I don't care. I kind of don't care at this point. That was 2 days ago. I haven't gone back to
my buddies. My buddy is on the Anthem of the Seas, and he attended the Beatles concert, and he filmed it. And there's a video of it. So they have all four of them. They're dressed up just like them, hair exactly the same, facial expressions all the same. You know, they lean out.
Well, yeah, they went.
And it looks great. I'm like, holy crap, that's the Beatles. He goes, dude, you wouldn't believe it how good these guys are.
Oh yeah. They're phenomenal.
So do they?
I'm not even a huge Beatles fan, but I admit they're the greatest band of all time.
George, come on. We're going to go do the swimming today.
Zoe's talking about like a Beatlemania cover band.
Yeah, on a cruise ship.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not a blues cruise. A high-end cruise.
Of course. Yes.
Anthem of the Seas.
High-end. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, Hardy, Peter Jackson was the guy who put this together, by the way. You know, Lord of the Rings guy.
That makes sense because it requires somebody who's like a little tapped to go through all that footage and sync up the sound and splice in some stills and some other shots when they didn't have the camera to match the audio. Like,
do you know how good it looks? Right. I mean, the look of it is incredible.
Right. Right.
It's all been restored. They restored the video and they restored the audio.
Wow.
And the process by which they restored the audio is so above our heads and your head, Hardy, that you'll understand how they did it, but you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they painstakingly did it this way.
All right. Tweet out an article or something. So
I will. It's wild. They basically taught the system that they were using what each of their voices sounded like. And what each of their instruments sounded like.
Okay, now listen to me.
To bring back their
this
sound.
This makes sense now that I hear this afterward, because there are some times when the voice doesn't quite match up with the film.
Bringo.
Bringo.
Okay.
Not bingo,
you know what?
Bringo.
Now I kind of watch. Now I don't want to watch it as much. It's not a completely authentic, like, thing that it's.
It's authentic. Yeah. It's totally authentic. It's just that they had bad audio and they made it sound better.
Well,
there's nothing fake.
But some of it is fake, it sounds like.
No, but nothing was changed. None of the content, none of the substance was changed. Just the sound of it and appearance of it was the appearance they're able to do. They do that all the time. They restored it back to the way it should have looked. But with the sound, they were able to restore it so that you can hear the conversation.
But you understand that's my problem. Peter Jackson, clearly, nor anybody else, they weren't there. So how do they know if it looks the way it's supposed to look or if it sounds the way it's supposed to sound? I mean, they weren't there in the room.
You have a humming in your left ear?
No.
Wow.
You need to go to an ear doctor.
No. Try these on. Did you hear them?
Oh, boy.
Left ear.
There's a hiss.
But Hardy, back to the Yoko point.
Yeah.
About whether or not she'd broken up the Beatles. I don't think she directly like was in there breaking them up, but John was done. You could tell. He was on to other things.
But not nearly as ornery and as difficult as I thought he would be. That's
correct.
They appear to be getting along okay.
Yeah, in the beginning. in the beginning.
All right.
But I just think John was done. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to do it anymore. He was out, and that's fine. People want to do different things. And like you said, they had all the fame, all the money. They had all the success. They didn't need it anymore. And he was done. And I think Paul was trying to keep it together because it's what he wanted, and it wasn't working.
Is this a Netflix special?
That's why Paul starts complaining and whining that they don't give him any support. Right?
Well, did you get to that yet? No.
Yeah, he starts basically complaining to them all that none of them give a damn and that none of them are supporting him and none of them are really supporting the effort to put the album together. So he starts whining. Paul gets a little whiny in it, and John is just sort of detached. Mm. And then Paul and George then get into it, and then that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
It's not how you would think of it, though. You'd think of like a shouting match or something. It's very polite arguing that they do.
Very British arguing.
Very British and polite, the way they argue with each other.
It's like Hugh Grant.
I'll play whatever you want me to play. If you want me to play this, I'll play it that way. Well, this is why I really enjoy the last album, because I felt I had more input. And Paul's looking at him like, no, you didn't. John and I write the songs. Stop it. Go rip off someone else and write My Sweet Lord. That's your big contribution.
And I know that they say that of the Lennon.
Well, didn't Ringo write that awful one?
Ringo wrote bad songs. George wrote bad songs. It was Paul and John.
Yeah. But of the Lennon-McCartney songs, the claim is that Lennon put together more of those songs than Paul. You know, was solely responsible for more of them than Paul was. Mm. On this album, Lennon was pretty much done. This was like he was stealing on this album for the Lennon-McCartney credits at the end. 617-779-0985. You can throw that into the mix if you like. That and the Patriots. We'll get back to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled
it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joe was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't last. Could easily get full lines when you bring this up. Mac is in Newburyport. Mac, what's up?
Hey, Hardy, I usually agree with you, but when you're talking about George Harrison, you know, he wrote the song Something. That was like a very heavily covered song.
Hold on a second. I'll give him two songs. I'll give him Something and Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun is the most downloaded, most streamed Beatles song.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. For cartoons.
How many good songs do the Beatles have?
178.
No. How many good songs do they have?
160.
They have 160 good ones.
He's only eliminating 18.
I'll say they have 25. What I would call like good to great songs.
Here we go.
Right. Easily that we would all agree with. George Harrison gave you two of them. But
because they didn't let him in, and then, you know, when he finally was out on his own, he did this huge smash album. All Things Must Pass is the best-selling Beatles solo album.
Is that the one with My Sweet Lord?
Yes.
He had to give up all the money to that. All the money from that album gone back to the band who originally did that song called He's So Fine.
You know what stinks?
He ripped it off.
I've had this fight with other Beatle fan friends. George was great had he been in another band of the time.
He suffered from
being in a band with Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
Bingo. He's not on their level. He's just not on their level. I'm sorry. He isn't.
I forgot. That's not to, late one
it's
night.
It's not to dump on him.
I did forget about
doesn't
this.
Doesn't mean he stinks. This was on that album, by the way, which to me doesn't hold up. I like this song, but it doesn't hold up.
Let it begin again.
A little pop song.
How much
for the
money?
Time. I don't know if it holds up, but
lots
still.
Of money. Lots.
Yeah.
You're fired up.
Nope. Take it back yet?
No.
Take this one.
Who
off.
Is the best Beatle in their solo life?
McCartney.
Definitely made the most money, that's for sure.
Oh, this sounds like the Monkees.
This was the best-selling solo album, though. He is right about that.
Oh, good. There's a lot. If we're going to do it, if we're going to do it on album sales, then you know,
Thriller,
Frampton Comes Alive probably outsold this one. So, I mean, are all the Beatles fans going to say that's better than
Peter Frampton sold, better than the Beatles?
Yeah, because it sold more copies.
Chris and Peabody, Chris.
Hi, I do a little bit of research, and I came across some. I came across an article that was mind-blowing, and it was a half-hour podcast of involvement of intelligence agencies with rock bands. So,
what drew you to that podcast specifically? Good.
Where's Chase Winovich this week? How have we not had Chase Winovich on yet?
No, seriously, I emailed this article to a friend that's a lawyer, and it was really, really good. And one little thing I can do to tell you to, well, I'd like to call back tomorrow after I re-listen to the podcast, and then I can give it to you.
Yeah, good.
Can't wait. And then you can.
Give us the general point? Can you give us something here?
Well, you have to understand that a lot of these rock groups were around in the '60s, and the Vietnam War was at full tilt, and they needed, they can't have these rock stars, you know, going against the war and stuff like that. So they have to kind of.
Why don't you pull up the podcast?
The CIA broke up the Beatles.
I have an idea. Pull up the podcast right now. Listen to it. And anytime you hear something you have a comment on, just chime in. And we'll just leave the phone potted up.
Jesus.
And we can do that.
He's going to call us back tomorrow.
Okay. Well,
Scott's on the golf course. Hey,
hi, Scott.
Another way of doing it, I guess.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hi, Scott.
First, wait till you get to the end of session one. You won't bother.
Okay, Scott, we're going to just put you on a quick hold there. We're breaking up. Is that us or is that him?
I think that's us with a giveaway.
I think giveaway somewhere?
Probably, yeah.
It sounded like you said, wait till I get to the end of episode one. I'll go back and watch more tonight.
Nick in West Roxbury. Nick. It's totally us.
It's 92.9 giving away guitar picks.
Giving away turntables over there, I hear.
Our contest line is ringing.
That was last week.
Ask him if they want the prize.
No.
Tyler, answer it. Ask him if they want the prize.
Why is our contest line ringing? We're not giving anything away.
Why can't we do that?
I don't know.
We didn't give the number out. We can answer that.
Alex in Lancaster. Alex?
Oh, hey, guys.
Damn it, it is us. Come on!
Where's Dennis? Every time we get on a heater.
Every time.
Great topic.
It is
every
beyond loaded phones.
Time.
We can't even take a damn call. Start bringing in real phones. We can pick up and talk to people.
Beatle, you ever seen the thing where John Lennon and Yoko are doing their bed in?
Oh yeah, I have.
And
isn't it?
It's beyond tedious.
Are there pictures of them naked?
There was
like some standing forward.
There was one album cover where they were nude. Yes.
That's weird. Yeah. Yeah. You ever see John and Yoko or John get into it with the reporter from the New York Times? I think it was.
Oh, that's at that same thing at the bed in, right?
Yeah.
That guy kind of like made. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah.
It was probably like,
first, she had covered Vietnam, and so she sort of goes at him. And
yeah. It's like,
I don't think she looks great as a reporter in that setting.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy. The guy, there was a guy in that bed in who had gone after Lennon before, and he invites him to that thing, and then it's like, you know, you're watching Lennon, and you're like, oh, he's an angry hippie. Oh,
it's probably like Capello with his FAA security attendant getting in it.
Gloria Emerson is the reporter who went at it with him.
Oh, all right.
And she was far more animated.
I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
Huh.
You want to try the phones again?
Should I?
Yeah. Give it a shot.
Go back and order. Scott, go ahead, Scott.
Hey, I'm back, guys. Hey,
nice.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wanted to say was at the end of session one, wait till you hear Yoko scream. It's horrible.
Scream in delight, scream as what part of the recording? What is it?
Screams and trying to sing, and you'll be pulling it out.
What?
Oh.
Just wait for it, Hardy.
Singing. For what?
Oh, no.
Tommy and Milton. Tommy.
Hi. Listen, guys. Hardy, I agree with you. Would disagree with you.
Okay.
My sister actually saw the Beatles back in the 60s, second row from the stage. So you couldn't find a bigger Beatles family than mine. First of all, you're right, Hardy. The first 45 minutes of that show was about it. I did watch all three sections of it. It was boring at times. But I will tell you, the best part, Hardy, the last section, part three, up on the roof, was fantastic. I got to tell you, you got to see John and Paul back how it used to be. And the thing about Hardy, I'm sorry, you're wrong about My Sweet Lord. They didn't rip that song off.
No, they did.
That was a mistake. No, they didn't, Hardy. They did not. Please. The other one, I tried to tell you about the Doors, about how Manzella played bass on it. You didn't believe me on that. That was true. Okay. So please, don't. Okay.
Well, the courts disagreed with you.
Harrison.
I mean, all the money from that album is gone.
Yeah, he doesn't get it anymore. Or his estate doesn't.
He didn't get it.
Get it,
no.
Right.
You plagiarized it.
Nick in West Roxbury. Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Yo, I love you, bro.
Love you.
But I love you, man. But Shane McGowan isn't the nicest guy in the world, but Fairy Tale of New York is probably the best Christmas song.
That song sucks, man. Come on. Growing up as a kid.
You know what? I've been a bartender in Boston before. I've served.
Where, at an Irish bar?
Of course.
Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of redundant.
I don't know. When's the last Christmas party someone rolled that out?
Brings the people together. He's not a good. He's a mumbler. But.
I bet the bar gets rocking to it, and that's a cool thing to do for that bar. That's all.
It good. Is. Look, absolutely.
I have
man.
No problem with that.
So you didn't listen to it growing up. I don't think anybody did, but a lot of adults. And you know,
Christmas song.
It's. When I came to hear it, it's not a traditional Christmas song, but it's a great song. It's not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Maybe I'll give it another chance.
You're not going to like it. Your mind is made up, and I understand that. But I want you to understand why other people like it.
I understand that.
Okay, do you?
Yeah, I know why people like the Mighty Mighty Bosstones or
Dropkick Murphys.
Dropkick Murphys.
You don't like Dickie Irish Barrett, music.
I don't like Irish.
You don't like Irish people.
You don't like Irish people.
I love St. Patrick's Day is one of my favorite holidays.
You're kidding.
I swear to God.
I don't believe you.
Hates the Irish.
When I got to Boston, St. Patrick's Day
was Hardy.
And it went to here for me.
I immediately immersed myself as a Bostonian. I went to Cheers.
I love corned beef and cabbage.
I love
the bold carrots.
I'm going to be a real Bostonian.
I hate Guinness.
Guinness?
I can't drink warm beer. Can't do it. Tastes like cigarette water to me. I don't like Guinness. It's got a bitter, bitter taste. That's all. What's the big deal? I'm sure you don't like some drinks, too.
Now, it's not something I have like more than like one of, but that's interesting.
Yeah. I like pouring it. I learned how to pour it.
Okay.
You got to put that quarter-inch foam head on top.
How about Smittix? You like that?
What is it?
Smittix.
I don't think I've had it.
You had to have. At some point.
All right. Take another song call.
What a show. We got to go to headlines, but quick, we'll do Alex because he was on before. We got to cut him off. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Massive Beatles fan here. Two quick points. Zoe, simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Number one. And my personal favorites for Christmas songs. And Beatle, I disagree a little bit about Lennon not contributing like a lot to Let It Be album, because I dig A Pony and Don't Let Me Down, even though they're not hits like Get Back and
Is Don't Let Me Down even like a full complete song on its own?
Doesn't feel like it is.
No, it's like
No, you're thinking of Maggie May. Maggie May is like a 30-second song. Don't Let Me Down is definitely a full song.
I don't think I am. Maggie May, Rod Stewart. What are you talking about?
So Lennon and McCartney. Oh, that I didn't know that was a cover song, but Maggie May is on Let It Be, and it's like a 30-second jam and it's really short.
Don't Let Me Down. I get what Hardy's saying. That from an artistic standpoint, that didn't feel like a complete song for them. Like they just sort of pieced together what they were working on
and
made it into a song.
What it, and again, what is kind of interesting about this, because a lot of bands do this, they come in with just like clips of songs. They just have an idea, you know, just like a kernel of an idea of a song. You know, not everybody writes songs the same ways, and especially after you've been writing album after album, you've put out you've written a lot of great songs already. At some point, the ideas start to dry up a little bit, so maybe they just have a kernel of an idea. Let's see if we can make something out of this. But in some of those later Beatles albums, there feel like there are a lot of song fragments on there. It's like, it's not like a whole song. We're gonna shift gears in the middle of this one because we really don't have a place to use this other really good idea, but we're going to throw it into this one here. And whatever. I mean, Beatles fans are going to love most of what they do. I really like a lot of what they do, but some of this stuff just feels like, I'm not surprised they broke up. They wrote it until it bucked them, you know?
Like, in Don't Let Me Down, they say Don't Let Me Down is a phrase more than 20 times. Hmm. There's not a lot of lyrics that, you know what I mean? Like, they say Don't Let Me Down.
Are you saying it's lacking substance?
It's more than 20 times they say it in the song.
Right.
There wasn't, for them, I don't think there was a lot there. It's a great song, though.
I love John Lennon singing. The one part I saw, they start doing Hey Jude for a second, and John Lennon singing, na 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 na. I'm like, I thought Paul McCartney wrote that because you were such a piece of crap to your first wife and your son, Julian, and that song was written to Julian. Hey Jude, it's going to be okay. I know your father is a piece of garbage, but it'll be okay. And there's John Lennon singing along with it. Did he understand the genesis of that song, or I have that story wrong?
Maybe he didn't reveal it to him at the time.
Maybe.
Wow, this is deep.
Right?
What app is this on? Netflix?
Disney.
Disney
Plus.
Damn it.
You guys, get that? You want to hear the Yoko scream, by the way?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm not going to watch the rest of it.
Haven't you seen? You've never seen the video of her doing that with Chuck Berry on stage?
Oh yeah,
that one. You see that?
You just remind. I think I only saw.
And the reaction is like, "What the hell?" They're doing a live performance, Lennon, Chuck Berry, and then she starts doing that.
Yes, it's like on the Mike Douglas show or something, right?
It's on a TV show. Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
Or
yes. And then she did that again recently, like a few years back.
It is the Mike Douglas show.
Is it? How did you remember that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's not new. That's not the first time we've seen her screaming.
That's fantastic.
Very good. Today's takeaway is coming up in about 15 minutes, and we've got more of your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We'll take your calls on anything.
Call us here for sports.
Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Select Timber Trent, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And you won't just be gone. So this is Christmas.
617-779-0985. Lenny's in Lowell. Lenny?
Yes?
Go ahead.
Hey, I want to say something about the Beatles. I never got to see them, but I did see George Harrison, Paul McCartney in Oakland, California. But in the 60s, I was a high school student and then a college student. I went to the original Woodstock, but the Beatles had a great influence on the world. I don't know if they started the peace movement, but they were a big part of it. They helped us get out of the Vietnam War, where 60,000 American young men got killed, and hundreds of thousands of Chinese and Vietnamese.
All right, Lenny, appreciate the call. Don't know what that has to do with Get Back or the Disney yep. Plus special that we were talking about earlier.
I did the strut across Abbey Road when we were out there in London. That was pretty cool. I went down to the recording studio where they recorded their first album. That was cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's Beatles like story time, but
I mean, I thought we were gonna do that. All right,
Johnny in Pawtucket. Johnny,
hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey.
What's up,
man?
All right, so if I'm making a Christmas list, first off, thank you for playing the Yoko Scream. I was waiting for that. That was absolutely classic. Gets me through the day. if I'm making a Christmas playlist, Rocking Around a Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee,
yep.
I think it's been covered plenty of times. Can't touch it. And Beatle, I love you. I know you guys got to pay the bills. But if I hear you have to say nude or sensual in that Pajamagram advertisement one more time,
sensuous.
I'm going to drive off the Tobin.
Thank you.
You know what? I had a question about that, too. If I'm buying pajamas, why would I be nude?
Thank you, T-Bone. Todd's in Portsmouth. Todd.
It threw me off, too.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Yeah, so Hardy, man, I got to agree with you all the way. Jackson wasn't there, and what he did, too, I restore films on the side.
Oh.
He destroyed the film. If you look at Paul and all of them, they look like plastic. They took out the noise that's inherent in film grain and upscaled it for HD. I agree 100%. It looks weird.
Well, thank you for explaining it to me because I couldn't put my finger on it. It's not quite... I remember when Cats came out and they talked about how people couldn't stand to look at it because... It was human-like, but not quite human, and it's called the Uncanny Valley. Same thing with Avatar, the Cats movie. If something looks like it's supposed to be authentic,
but the Beatles
you
are real,
know there's
right?
something off. There's something off
but
with
the
this
Beatles
footage.
Are real, right?
It looks too perfect.
It
is
looks
that your problem?
Yes.
See, the problem is you hear the Beatles, you think, okay, here they are, Ed Sullivan, you know, introducing them. It's like the Jackson 5 and all that, and everything's in black and white. So this is all in color then.
It's all in color.
I saw
color. And this was perfect.
So this is really them.
Oh yeah, it's really them.
Wow.
But as that guy just explained, the film has been like altered to a degree where yes, it's the actual footage, but it's been enhanced to a point where I don't know how authentic it is anymore.
Don't tell me it's like the kid on the that Christmas movie, the train movie, Polar Express.
More no, it's not. Oh, God, no.
That
no.
creepy
It's
weird.
Not animated.
Okay.
No. No, it's nothing to that degree.
All right.
But there's something that's off. Just a little off.
Mm. Brendan's in Springfield on the Patriots. Go ahead, Brendan.
Let's go, Pats.
Yes, hi.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello. What's up?
Yeah, I got something that Belger and the Weiner brought up yesterday about McDermott being out coached. He was out coached from the start of the game when he went out, when he sent his boys out for the coin toss, and he decided to defer.
Why is that a problem?
What happened. Well, what happens is that I was an official, an MIAA official
nice.
For 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is that you get out there and you tell them, first of all, who's talking. They have that's when they have to decide.
Oh, so you mean they don't all call it? So one guy has to speak.
No, one guy calls it.
I thought it was like, hey, we're all going to first guy to call it when it's in the air.
God, let him finish.
But what if you don't catch it?
No, let him finish.
No. And the referee, before, what you don't see on TV is the referee will walk into the huddle and say, who's talking? And each team will say, he is. And what happens is that the team that doesn't know what they're doing will sit there and they'll look at each other and say, okay, you do it. And it's usually the quarterback for some reason.
Whoa.
But what happens
Smart kid,
is,
huh?
So where was the issue on Monday night? What happened? What was wrong, Brendan?
The issue is that they get out there and the referee explains all this information to them about, you know.
Who's calling it, right?
What did the Bills do wrong? What did they do wrong?
Well, when they defer, they say, the referee said you're deferring to the second half, so you're going to kick and take the ball in the second half. They say yes. They turn to the Patriots and say, what end of the field do you want to defend?
Right.
And the Patriots now get their choice of what end. And Slater is always the guy that does the talking because he's the special teams captain.
We're aware. Said, where did the Bills go wrong? Oh, my God. That was painful. Two minutes, and we couldn't get to what the issue was.
By the way,
in the NFL, there was a rule change going back a couple of years that when you defer, Zoe, right?
Yes.
When you defer in the second half, you have the right to pick the wind again.
Correct.
You could have chosen Sean McDermott, and this is maybe the first time ever that that actually came into play, because when you defer, what team is ever going to go to the refs at halftime and say, you know what, we're actually going to kick off
right?
because we want the wind. This was maybe the first game ever that I could remember that ever coming into play where maybe they say, you know what? Let's give them the ball to start the third, but we want the wind at our back in the fourth.
Mm.
They could have chosen to do that. They ultimately did not. They ultimately chose to take the football to start the second half. But when it comes to the coin toss, you don't have two choices. You have three. You have three choices when you are out there and you win. Kick or receive is choice number one. Choice number two is direction. And choice number three is defer. Kicking off and deferring are not the same thing. Those are not the same decisions. In fact, if you choose kickoff, which nobody does, you may remember a couple of years ago, the ref tried to say that Dak Prescott said, we'll kick off. You remember that, Zoe?
Didn't it happen with Bettis, too, one time?
No, Jerome. That was where he said heads, and they thought he said tails.
Oh, okay.
That's before the defer rule came into play. You couldn't defer in the NFL until 2008. So when you choose kickoff, which nobody does, that means you're kicking off both halves, that you're choosing to kick to start the game, and therefore you're also kicking at the start of the second half, which they tried to claim back in 2019 that Dak Prescott had said at the start of the game. But then they went back and reviewed the film, and in going out to midfield for the toss, Dak did say, we defer, while also saying, we defer, so we'll be kicking off. But they almost forced Dallas to kick off in both halves of their game. I would like to know where the issue was with Buffalo, but we're never going
to
get there.
Well, we didn't get to that.
We cut
them off.
We've got to get to today's takeaways.
Call back tomorrow, please.
We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's a retake.
It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, how you doing? Time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Waking 180 Weight Loss, the program which enabled Greg Bedard, Big Boy, to lose 40 pounds, and he's still counting. He's up next here on Felger and Mass on Big Boy Wednesday. Find out how Greg made a 180 and schedule your consultation at awaken180weightloss.com.
What do we got? Let's get to it. Start of the show today, Zoe realizing he smelled.
Oh.
There's a bad smell in here.
What is it?
Here's what it smells like.
Okay.
Onions.
Smells like temperature here. Okay. Feels like, smells like. Uncle Edward came over to your house after working out, and he put on Musk cologne. And he cut your grass for you because, you know, you're too old to cut your grass. And he sat down on your porch, went inside, got some lemonade, walked through the house. The smell of B.O., Sweat, Old Man, maybe a cigarette or two, and Musk permeates this studio.
Okay, I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest.
Okay.
I think it's Yuzo.
What?
Because I walked in, I smelled it, and then I went over and smelled your shirt, and I think it's you, and it's maybe something with the shirt, maybe it's one of those shirts that kind of like holds the smell.
Makes you sweat.
All right, good Tyler job. Milliken coming into the studio right now to take a whiff of Zoe's pit. Get a little close.
It's him, right?
Well, we identified it. You know what? You know what was lost to me the first time? Zoe's explanation, where it's like your uncle comes over to cut your grass because you're too old, but the uncle isn't too old to cut it for
Not
you.
Not me. It's like he's going uncle. Over to his mother's house. So you're the child. Your uncle is going to cut grandma and grandpa's grass.
Now it makes sense.
And he wears English leather and he keeps it in his glove compartment.
Now I get it. Zoe's mad he's leaving.
Why is he mad?
I don't know.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.